Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is a part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the Red Cedar Report on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, iSportsWeb contributor Ryan McCumber is with me as we wrap up Michigan State's regular season after they routed Penn State last night 55-16 to help wrap up the Big Ten East Championship. They punched their ticket to Indianapolis where they will face the Iowa Hawkeyes this Saturday. Ryan, I saw you before the game. You were getting a little bit antsy. How are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling great. Got my tickets put to Indianapolis, and I'm ready. I'm ready for next week already.
Oh, I mean, it's going to be a good one. The third time in 5 years the Spartans will be representing their division, whether it's the Legends division or the Big Ten East, however you want to look at it, they will be representing their division for the third time in 5 years in that championship game. And a lot of that credit this year, and, I mean, you could make a case in the past couple of years, too, but a lot of the credit this year, more than any other, it belongs to the seniors.
Oh, absolutely. This senior class, if they can win three more games, I think they overtake the 2013 class, best senior class Antonio's had.
It's a little earlier. We're doing the show a little bit earlier than we normally do. I'll correct you right here. One more. They tied the wins last night.
Right. I know that. I'm just talking in terms of accomplishments.
For sure.
Yeah. It's this senior class. A lot of these guys were big contributors in 2013. You know, I mean, obviously Connor Cook was quarterback then. It's Luke Calhoun still playing, and RJ Williamson came in and played nickel a lot as a Richard sophomore. This class had everybody redshirt other than Twan Jones, who graduated last year. But this senior class has been absolutely incredible. If you look at the three rankings, people would have never thought this would have happened. But obviously, Mark Antonio is one hell of a coach, so that helps a lot.
Well, Mark Antonio, he just became the first coach in Big Ten history to win 11 games in at least 5 of 6 years. He became the first Big Ten. And to throw a comparison out there, I saw this number a little bit earlier and floating around on social media. In the illustrious history of our intrastate rivals, U of M, they have won 11 games 4 times since Bo Schembechler's first year in 1969. And so I think that really puts a historic aspect on what Mark Antonio is doing, even though to this point he hasn't won a national championship, but it shows you how good he actually is year in and year out with the model of consistency that he has built.
Absolutely. And Antonio, it's not just that he wins, it's that he does it the right way. He's honest and upfront with recruits. You don't see him complaining that often. You don't see him throwing a temper tantrum on the sideline. He just does things the right way. And I think that's the one thing that makes Michigan State fans so happy with this program. Not only do they win, they do it the right way.
All right. Just out of curiosity, was there any coach in particular that you had in mind when you were talking about temper tantrums on the sideline?
Yeah, Diane Arbor, I guess, is one.
Okay, I thought so. I just wanted to put my finger on it. I just want to make sure. But No, yeah, the senior class, they've accomplished a lot. And if you want to go back to the year Michigan State won the Rose Bowl, let's hop in our DeLorean and go back and remember that year. If Tamian Terry doesn't get hurt, we're looking at a four-quarterback race for the starting quarterback position. And there's a chance during that race that Connor Cook doesn't end up as the starter. The best quarterback that we've ever had almost didn't do it. And there was a lot of questions regarding if Cook was going to play yesterday. He played and he played very well. He played very well.
Oh, absolutely, and you can see that, yeah, he has a zip back on his throw that apparently was missing last week. Connor Cook is back. I mean, he adds a whole different dimension to the offense when he plays than they were missing against Ohio State last week. But he's making NFL throws still after NFL throw. It's just, if you would have told me that he would have been this good when he was during the Western Michigan game in 2013, I would have called you absolutely insane. I probably would have called you insane asylum.
Oh, for sure. Last night, 19 completions, 26 attempts, 248 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a total QBR of 86.7 out of 100. That's not their overall quarterback rating. That was just the total QBR stat, which also factors down in distance and situations. And so Connor Cook had an 86.7 rating last night, which is very impressive when you compare that to, you know, the other Big Ten quarterback that a lot of people are expecting to be a first-rounder, Christian Hackenberg, yesterday. 22-39, 257 yards. 2 touchdowns, also had 2 picks. His total QBR,
42.8. Obviously Hackenberg has a terrible offensive line. I've always thought he was a little bit overrated. But, we're going to get into, obviously, Penn State a little bit later. But, Cook is just, he makes plays when the most matters. His third down stats are absolutely eye-popping. I think a lot of that has to do with the way that you got to give Brett Salem a lot of credit for what he's done with the quarterbacks. It's just been an incredible growth from Connor Cook, from a guy who was maybe a transfer candidate if he doesn't win the job, to a guy who's going to go down to the best Michigan State quarterback ever and probably a first-round pick in the NFL draft.
Absolutely. You talked about Hackenberg's offensive line and how he doesn't really have, much of one at all. Michigan State, the past two weeks, the two toughest defensive fronts that they faced, Penn State and Ohio State, that's when they've looked their best. Are they finally starting to gel a little bit? Because, I mean, they've always been decent in pass protect, but with the newer running backs, with the freshmen learning the system still, and Madre London and LJ Scott, is this line finally going to stay living up to the expectations as they get ready to face Iowa, who you could probably make a case as the third or fourth best defensive front that they're going to see this year?
Absolutely. It's an offensive line that obviously had injuries all year. And that didn't exactly help with gelling together and, getting comfortable. But obviously they've got the 5 guys back who were starters at the beginning of the year. And like you said, the last two games against the last two defensive fronts that they're going to face in the Big Ten, they have just dominated. It wasn't just that they played well, they dominated those two defensive fronts. 55 points against Penn State, who has a pretty good defense. I mean, I didn't see that coming. Even with Connor Cookman, I didn't think that was going to happen. So, yeah, the offensive line, which was supposed to be one of Michigan State's best ever, is absolutely gelling at the right time. They're making holes for the running backs. Gerald Holmes, obviously a lot of credit needs to go to Gerald Holmes, but how he just keeps pushing through plays and doesn't give up. But, yeah, this offensive line is helping him a ton with getting him the holes that he needs to push through.
Well, the first things first, you did mention Penn State's defense and how they gave up 55. Let's give a little bit of credit, though, to Michigan State's defense for putting up a couple of those points. There was an interception return. And two interception returns. It was an interception and a fumble return. There it is.
Yeah, Cox had the fumble return.
It was an interception, a fumble return. Another play where Michigan State got the ball on the 9-yard line and was able to get it in. Another one, they were relatively close after a turnover. And so I don't want to, like, completely discredit Penn State's defense last night, even though Michigan State did put up over 400 yards. But you talked about this offensive line. In addition to Michigan State averaging 4.9 yards a rush, Gerald Holmes averaged 5.3, L.J. Scott averaged 3.7, Delton Williams averaged 4.5 a carry. Philip Michael Williams averaged over 4.5 a carry. Aaron Burbridge got over 5 a pop on his Wildcat plays. Madre London, 1 rush, 20 yards. In addition to what they've done to the running game, look, there was a lot of questions. Hey, if Michigan State thinks they can win this game without Connor Cook, he should not play. They kept Connor Cook upright the entire game.
Yeah, this is the offensive line that I expected. In the beginning of the year, when you have probably, most of these guys in the line are future NFL players. Jack Allen's going to get drafted this upcoming spring. Jack Conklin, if he does go pro, probably still a first-round pick. I think Brian Allen's an NFL player. Cody Keeler might be an NFL guy. Donovan Clark's probably going to get drafted. So this is definitely the best offensive line. This is what we expected at the beginning of the year, that Michigan State had one of the best offensive lines in the country. And, obviously the injuries hurt the stability, but once you get those guys together for a couple weeks, it's incredible what they can do. I mean, obviously pass protection has been good all year. Like you said, the run, but the run blocking has been great since the Maryland game. We deserve a ton of credit for this reemergence of the offense.
Well, I mean, it always does help when you have a guy like Gerald Holmes who can take that first contact and then go for another 7 yards after that, too. That always helps a little bit. But you talked about the offensive line and all of these guys going pro. I think someone who helped their draft stock yesterday, man, Jack Allen, he shows he can do a little bit of everything.
It was on my side of the field. It was on the other side of the end zone, but it was on my side of the field. And the stadium just went absolutely nuts when he scored the touchdown. He got a smile on the Antonio's face there for a while. So that's when you know you've done something right. He's stiff on Penn State lead tackler and scored a touchdown. Jack Allen, I mean, he's a businessman. He's been he's been great at Michigan State since he was a freshman. He was a freshman All-American his first year. That was awesome. You want for seniors to get a chance like that.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time Mark D'Antonio's done that to a senior. There was a guard pull kind of end around deal that they ran. That was, supposed to be run with Travis Jackson. They ran with Connor Cruz instead. And, that didn't work quite as well as handing it to a All-American center out of the shotgun. But, I mean, it is what it is. A nice little tip of the cap to the senior captain. And, I mean, that just goes to show you how much he means to that offensive line, how much he means to that program. And everything else. I mean, he is in the trenches. He's You don't see him miss a block that often. I saw him miss one yesterday. I think it was the first one I've seen him miss all year. And he's been playing on left tackle and guard, and he's been all over the place. So it just goes to show you what he means to that program.
Mr. Kennedy has been amazing this year. You don't see a guy who's like 6'1", play left tackle very often. He did that when Jack Conklin went down. But yeah, he has been a great. He's been great for the program. And you know what? This is the end of the Allens. You got Brian starting on the offensive line right now, and then you got the youngest one, Matt, coming in next year. So hopefully, NSC has about 6 years left of Allens, even with Jack going. So that's a good thing. Obviously, a good thing for the program.
Yeah, the new bowl of name of the Michigan State football program. Let's flip sides of the field here because, look, the defense statistically not their best showing. They still gave up three plays of over 20 yards. They gave up a play of over 70 yards. Where's the total? They gave up over 400 yards total, 418 yards. But they started forcing turnovers, and once again, they were – it was a pain in the butt to try to score on them in the red zone for Penn State. Talk about this defense a little bit. What did you think of their performance? Maybe not their best, but they started turning it over, something that they haven't really done to that extent since R.J. Williamson was in the defensive backfield.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great performance. I mean, they played well. But like you said, Monte Nicholson got – I think it was Nicholson that got burned on that long 70-yard play. I mean, he made a good effort to try and get the ball back because he knocked the ball free from the wide receiver.
That 70-yard play, there was a missed tackle like 10, 15 yards in that could have halted it. So they weren't out of position like they have been earlier in the year.
Yeah, I haven't watched the game yet again. So, I mean, I'm just going off what I saw at the stadium. But, I mean, they played well. They played well enough to win, obviously. And the red zone defense, like you said, was incredible. I remember that one drive, I think it was in the third quarter, when they were down. They had like nine plays. And the only reason Penn State was still in there, still had the ball, was they had penalties on a couple of them. But, they played well enough. The defensive line pretty much dominated again. The secondary played okay. Hicks was tackling pretty well in space. He had 14 tackles. Obviously, they're playing better than they were earlier in the year, which is obviously a plus. But they played well enough to win. And you're going to win most of the games that you play if they play defense like that.
Penn State, they threw for nearly 300 yards, but they threw the ball 47 times. They also threw two interceptions in there. You and me, we've said it. This is a defensive backfield that you want to see, and frankly, they didn't have a test until yesterday. Maryland can't throw the ball to save their lives. Ohio State, they have struggles throwing the deep ball. But they were also hindered a little bit by the weather as well. So this was their first real test, and though Michigan State's front seven didn't get after Hackenberg like I thought they would, I thought they might tally double-digit sacks. The defensive backfield still looked pretty good, all things considered, especially how many times they threw the ball and how many of them were just short screens, because that is the only way to beat the group of Nicholson, Colquhoun, Cox, and Hicks right now.
Absolutely. I mean, the secondary is getting healthy at the right time. Penn State was getting their fair share of yards in the air. they weren't going to be able to – I mean, they ran okay against the front. I haven't checked the stats yet, but it seemed like they ran okay considering how bad their offensive line is. But, yeah, I mean, the way you got Calhoun, Nicholson, and Hicks, and Cox as your in your defensive backfield. I mean, you're going to be in pretty good shape. I mean, they gave up some plays, but like you said, most of them were screen plays, and that's bound to happen.
You talked about the running game. They average 4.9 yards a carry, just like Michigan State did. Except Michigan State did it on more of a consistent level. You know, Penn State had a couple breakouts.
Big runs, yeah.
Yeah. And very, very close as far as all-purpose yards from scrimmage in the conference, and very close as far as total rushing yards. As far as rushing yards per game goes, Saquon Barkley, he's up there. And so it's okay to give up a couple runs to him. You obviously want to try to contain him as much as possible, but you know you're going to get bitten a couple of times. This weekend, Michigan State plays Jordan Kanziri, who is very similar as far as the stats go, to Saquon Barkley, and he is also, but he's also put up a couple 200-yard games. Iowa's put up a couple 200-yard games running the ball this year. How does Michigan State improve over the course of this week to shut down Kanziri? Because Bethard can make plays, but I would rather he try to force himself to be a playmaker as opposed to a game manager, and you focus on Kanziri as opposed to letting Kanziri beat you and you trying to shut down Bethard.
Yeah, I agree. Iowa they're not a team that's going to want to throw the ball 40 times a game with Bethard. They're going to want to run the ball and maybe throw in a little bit of play action. But, I mean, the front seven should be able to I think they'll be able to hold Kanziri in check. I mean, he's a pretty good back, but obviously the weather impacts of what happened with Ezekiel Elliott. But when they shut down possibly the best running back in the country, and I think this team is going to be, obviously they're going to be up to play a game like this. But if Calhoun and McDowell and Thomas get pressured throughout the game, it's going to be a closer game, but I think that they'll be all right.
Right, and I think there's a little bit of a difference, too, in the style Penn State does it. They do a lot of stuff out of the gun, and they do a lot of stuff in the pistol. Iowa, they'll do some stuff out of shotgun, but they like to stick with the I-formation, single-back type stuff that you see the ace sets. And I think that if you had to draw comparisons with Iowa's offense, you could probably go back to that Michigan State Rose Bowl team that we just talked about in 2013. Yeah, they'll line up in the gun and they'll throw the ball occasionally, but they have a game manager as a quarterback. And at that stage in his career, that's what Connor Cook was. He was a game manager, but they lived and died by the running game. They did do some stuff out of shotgun occasionally, but a lot of stuff it was out of the I formation. Do you think that's an accurate comparison?
I do, and I was going to bring up the point that I think Mark Antonio kind of tried to model his program after Iowa when he first came to Michigan State. I think you and Iowa are pretty similar in how they run their offenses. Obviously Michigan State has more of a they throw the ball a lot more because they have probably the best quarterback in the country. But I think that's a really good comparison because Cook obviously later in the year. Cook was able to throw the ball a lot. He was able to throw the ball more. But earlier in the year, he was a game manager, and that's what Bethard is right now. That's a really good comparison because I really think that's what Dan Antonio tried to model MSU after earlier in his tenure at Michigan State.
Right, and the comparisons don't stop there. Interesting stats that you see getting thrown all over the place. 0.3 yards separates the yards per game between these two teams. They both have 14 takeaways per contest. They are scoring about the same amount of points per game. the comparisons between these two teams aren't going to stop until Saturday gets here. College game day for the fourth time this year is going to be covering the Michigan State Spartans. I don't know if that's a record or not. I actually tried to look it up, but I do not know if that's a record. I'm pretty sure it's got to be right up there with pretty much any year that they've thought Alabama was going to win the championship.
Oh, absolutely. That shows a lot what people think of Michigan State's program, with how they're covered. And hopefully, here's the hoping that Corso picks against MSU again, because every time he's picked against MSU this year, they've won. So,
well, that's all three, so.
Yeah, all three times. But, yeah, I mean, that just shows what nationally Michigan State is perceived as. Obviously, as a program now, I think they're perceived as one of the bigger programs in the country with how they're covered and with College Game Day coming to Michigan State games four times this year now. But, it's just big for the program. It helps recruiting a lot. You can never go wrong with more coverage, as long as it's positive, obviously.
Hey, well, you know what? There's no such thing as bad publicity. I mean, it works all right for the Kardashians, so why not? Let's just go with it. Actually, it doesn't work that well with Harbaugh, does it? So we'll just...
I was just about to bring that point up, but you did it for me.
So, but, man, we got a few minutes left here. So the Big Ten Championship, it's coming up, and we did it for Ohio State. We did it for Michigan. We're doing it for the big games. We're going to get your prediction early. Ryan, this weekend, the Big Ten Championship's on the line. Spartans or the Hawkeyes?
I think Michigan State's going to win this game. The offensive line is gelling at the right time. The defensive backfield is gelling at the right time. You've got Connor Cliff back. I think that they're a very good, fundamentally sound team, but I don't think that they have the horses to match for Michigan State. I've got the Spartans winning 31-21. It'll be a close game throughout most of the game, but Michigan State's going to pull away then, I think. They just have too much talent to lose a game like this, and the coaching staff is going to have them focused on this game.
All right, I'm going to ask you really quick about one of the key matchups. We saw what Aaron Burbridge did to Jordan Lewis. Lewis had his fair share of decent plays, pass breakups and stuff like that, and I think that this is going to be one of the keys. Obviously, we'll talk about this more as the week progresses. Aaron Burbridge versus Desmond King. Because King has been making plays. He's been turning that ball over more than pretty much anybody else in the Big Ten right now. I know he leads the conference in interceptions, and I didn't even look that stat up just now. Burbridge and King, how do you see that shaking out?
I think King's got 8 interceptions last time I saw. But, I think Desmond King is a better corner than Jordan Lewis is. Jordan Lewis is a great player. I mean, no disrespect to him, but I think Desmond King is just absolutely, he's the best corner in the league, I think. But, I mean, Cook's going to throw the ball where only Burbridge can get it a few times. Burbridge is going to make fair share of players. I think King will keep him somewhat in check, but I think Michigan State just has, honestly, they have too many playmakers for Iowa to be able to keep up. Beat them in a 60-minute game, unless Cook makes some turnovers, which doesn't happen very often, and makes some bad decisions. He'll have an impact on Burbridge, but I don't think he's going to make any game-changing interceptions or anything like that.
Hey, are you going this weekend?
I will be there. I already bought my ticket.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on. Have fun in Indianapolis.
I will. Thanks for having me on, Tyler.
All right, that does it for us today. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward, and this was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.